The following audio drama is rated R for Rockin'. You can be sure that everything you wanted to see when you're a teenager is here. Just tantalizingly out of reach if you're under 17 or 18 years old.
This is Leland Hall, host and keeper of Good Neighbors, an actual play podcast of Monster of the Week. Our show, set loosely in modern-day Louisiana, follows four almost competent heroes as they protect their sleepy seaside town from eldritch horrors, cryptids, and even monsters thought only to exist on the internet. In the following clip from episode 36, Ace in the Hole, our heroes grapple with a long-standing enemy of theirs that has finally called in their contract for a player's life. Our heroes are desperate to stop him, but they must answer a question first. How do you kill an immortal? Thank you for listening. Now, before we get into that, let's meet our characters.
Hi, I guess. I'm Flint O'Hare. I've been pretty aware of the whole monster thing for quite a number of decades now. Not a magical person, no psychic or superpowers or anything. I just know what to look for, that's all. Read a lot of books.
Hey, what's up? Time ghosts? I'm June Traherne. I think Be Crime, Do Gay sums up the whole backstory pretty well. I used to run with the South Swamp Devils, which is like a queer anarchist gang made up of runaways that does community care and hooliganism. We did what we could to learn the truth about what's out there and try to protect the people in our neighborhood and other runaways and ourselves. That all changed when Mr. James Pale showed up.
My name is Beck Tui, short for Rebecca, but even my mom gave up on that one. Flint calls me the badass, which is real sweet, but maybe a little hyperbolic. I'm pretty normal. I pull shifts at a movie rental called Little Hollywood. I take Shito Ryu Karate with Grandmaster Chuck Hayes. And maybe am in a secret society dedicated to monster hunting.
My name is Cassius Montgomery. And now for the record, I was promised this was inadmissible in court. So this is all strictly off the record, okay? All right. You may know me as the popular television psychic Cassius Montgomery. I had a show called Antiques Horror Show. I got a couple of cease and desists from the Antiques Road Show. Actually, it was pretty cool to get their attention. You know, I mean, I'm a little bit of a big deal.
I think Cassius, a little delirious, a little high, looking around, seeing everybody get fucked up by this thing's psychic powers, is gonna look down at Gert, and I think he's going to think back on every time that he's tried to discard her and how she's come back, and how he knows that no matter what happens, she'll always come back. And I think he's going to try to amplify all of those memories psychically, knowing that James feeds off of memory, trying to essentially be like, This memory being so strong, he has to, like, it's distracting him, basically. You know what I mean? Like a beacon of,
I love it,
of, yeah, me and Gert's relationship. Our little
okay,
friendship over the years.
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
What the fuck would that be?
Is it a sensitive move? Like,
what is it? It's not trying to detect anything.
Mm-hmm.
To me, this is a protect someone. You want to reduce the harm that James can do psychically, right?
Basically.
Oh, let's play this like we're... go ahead and roll it like let's get out of here, in that you're appealing to Gert to help you do this.
Sure. That sounds good to me. That's a 5 and a 3, so that's an 8. Plus 3 is 11. Minus 2 is 9. Right?
Okay. Yeah, for sure. Does anyone want to try to help out?
I will try to help out.
How do you do so? How do you help Cassius bridge that psychic gap?
I think I'm going to, give him a look and, tell him I'm joining the fight, friend, and, assure him that I'm going to assist. And
Fair
by
enough.
Him knowing that I'm coming in.
Alrighty, go ahead and give me the roll.
Oh my god.
That did not help.
You hear, who could have foreseen this sudden but inevitable betrayal? Oh, coming from James. All I wanted was a moment's peace.
There's like there a little whiteboard sign on a tree. How many days since our last betrayal? And it's back down to zero. It's our shortest alliance yet.
Our shortest alliance yet. I thought we could have had something. Oh, well. Cassius, you do so. On a 7+, you protect them okay, but you'll suffer some or all of the harm they're going to get. I'm going to say that at any moment, you can reroute one of the harms that someone else would get psychically to yourself.
That's cool with me.
So in theory, it could like rack up real fast, mm-hmm. but for a moment, you are kind of open and can reroute it.
Sure.
To reduce it. A little human shieldy there.
Oh, yeah, Cassius is such a good, good, good tank.
He does play tank a lot.
It's just because he's slippery. Okay.
That brings us to June. It is your turn.
If I choose to act on what Cassius persuaded me, do I get that XP, or was that only for last round?
I'll throw it your way.
Cool. June is going to gingerly get to their feet and is going to, really take in the situation of how hurt Flint and Beck both are and, the devils are getting their asses kicked pretty good and is going to throw the pocket watch into the air and as it is falling, pull their hand cannon out and try and shoot through the pocket watch into James.
Okay. Go ahead and give me a kick some ass.
Oh, are you sure? Not use magic? Are you sure? Because it's not a real gun. It's a magic gun.
Were you going for the scatter effect of the burn everything thing?
Because I know that has like a burst or something. I'm trying to use burn everything, but I want to shoot through the watch to hit James.
Okay, this is harder to do than just shooting him.
Sure.
So you can make that roll, but do it with an additional minus one here.
Okay, so I'm at a total of minus three or four?
Three.
Okay. That's fine. This is fine. Everything's fine. Well, that could not have gone better. That is going to be a 10 total.
Oh, very good. What does it look like as you blast through this watch? And I'll narrate what happens to James.
I think June has never seen James, like, really sweat before, let alone, like, be hurt. And seeing, Flint damage the tentacle and seeing Beck get this huge hit on it and seeing Cassius, like, mentally distracting him, June is remarkably encouraged. Throws the pocket watch up, quick draws their gun under their breath, like so quietly, I don't think anyone hears it except for maybe Cassius, says, Womacha Javad! And a blast of fire shoots out of the hand cannon into the watch, shattering the watch into tiny particles that go with the fire into James.
They, like shrapnel spread through James's body, and the visitor, it's like form splits as if it's got like several different clones, but only at the waist. Like it seems to, like its body is distorted through time in this one sort of stop motion video almost. Like it looks horrific to see as its body reels back and then forward in pain. And we see like different stages of that transition all at the same time, if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm.
There's this sort of, this a bizarre sort of spatial time effect on it as it reels back in pain, as it starts to kind of try to solidify itself back again into one particular moment. But it looks pretty weak right now.
That's my turn.
That's a pretty good turn.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think I have anything else.
Emmett and the Bulwark, you know, of course, are doing their kind of also fighting, also shooting or whatever.
Yeah.
I think Dr. Garcia is like, every now and again, we'll back up and try to like flip through their like their little notebook of like, okay, what do I do here? What do I do here? What do I do here? Kind of trying to like piece together like what's the best thing to do right now.
I feel like they're also probably like doing a good job of like pulling people out as they like psychically get dropped. So like
for sure,
a Bulwark member gets psychically dropped, like Emmett is there pulling them to safety, or as one of the devils goes down, you know, he's providing cover to get them out.
Absolutely, absolutely. They're all fighting together and trying desperately to get each other out of the way of things. They have to have someone at any given time pulling someone out, waking them back up as James knocks them out with this intense pain to the head. And then someone else will stand back up and start going at it as another person gets their bearings and tries to recollect themselves. It is, you know, like this, it's a big mess, to be honest. It does not look clean. No one here is looking like they're like on their game, a master fighter, because none of them can think straight right now. Flint, brink of death, what do you do?
I get up, I look at my glove, like, falling apart and smoking. I look at Beck and June. He's pretty hurt. We gonna try to seal him now?
Why can't we just dip and just let him try to recover? What do you mean seal him?
Chuck's your boss man's book. We need to trap him permanently.
Okay.
If you could get a powerful enough spell, I have an idea for a power source.
Okay, but if it doesn't work, we all are running now.
We see, as you were having this conversation, Loon is like trying to bring down this chainsaw on top of the visitor's myriad form, and is picked up by one of the tendrils and thrown far into the water. We see these like little bubbles come up over top as something is probably chasing him underneath the water here. We see
Magpie cries out and dives after him.
For sure. They connect with one another and try to like swim back together while evading some kind of undersea creature. We see Emmett as like scattered papers on the ground to try and figure out something, but can't think straight as in the water they can keep seeing this sort of reflected image of his sister, Rashida's mom, and is like having this severe pained headache. It's chaos all around. Also, the Bulwark members, some of them, this is one of their earliest fights. They don't fight monsters often, so this is like a big step up. It's not looking amazing.
So, as far as giving them a power source for a magic spell, I would like to permanently lose my magic glove. I see it. I see, like, the magic is being absorbed into James, into the visitor, and that gives me the idea of, well, why not just reverse it so that the magic is going into whatever spell they're doing, permanently blowing up this item. Never to be
What it looks like we're gearing up towards here is a big magic, which we have not used in this game before, but it is a move that is always is along here. And to do that, which is seal James's power in some way, it will have a specific side effect or danger. You need to use magic to do it. You'll need a lot of people, so two, and it needs rare and weird ingredients or supplies. So I'll take the glove as the rare weird ingredients.
Where's
or supplies.
Where's June in relation to Flint and Beck?
I think far away, right? Because you two have been fighting the visitor like a little distance as someone carried June to safety. I think it was Loon.
Do we know how to leave?
Not currently.
Yeah.
Or you can assume maybe the shack has something to do with it, but...
Right. Okay. I feel like we should have like an exit in mind before we try to crack it off. Because if it doesn't work...
If it doesn't work, we're all dead at this point. The visitor will follow us.
All right. I think Beth will start calling for June, hoping that June can just teleport over here.
That'll be on their turn.
True. Well, can Flint and Beck do it, or does it need to be two magical people? So, because you said magic had to be part of it.
At least one of you has to use magic okay. and kind of know the thing.
I mean, Flint yeah. can do it.
In theory, yeah.
I think it should be you and June. I'm gonna have to weird science this into a power source, right?
That would be good.
Yeah. Okay. So I think it's gonna have to be you and June. So let me roll that weird science.
Weird science.
7.
Okay. I'm gonna say it takes a weird thing for sure, which is itself.
Yeah.
I'm gonna say it won't work exactly as you intended, but it will work.
Okay. So Flint's just got his little screwdriver and he's like coughing up blood. He's like, gotta be smart, not strong. Gotta be smart, not strong. Gotta be smart, not strong.
Okay. We got Beck. What are you doing?
Beck is going to... I'm afraid of leaving Flint's side because this place is so spatially fucked up.
That's fair. You don't have to be touching June to cast the spell. That's
okay. But I have to, okay, yeah. I still want to try to get June's attention. So I'm going to scream for June and maybe try to do something beyond human limitations with magic.
Which it would be what?
Make my voice extremely loud. So no matter where they are, they can hear me.
If you would like, for sure.
Okay.
You might also just try to use it to, like, get to them, if that's something you want to try. If your goal is just to be near them.
Yeah, okay. Can Flint come with me, or does Flint need to stay?
If you use Beyond Human Limitations, I'll let you, like, pick him up and fly. Not fly, I'll but fly. Jump.
Okay, but I'll be strunk.
Sure.
So it's a -2?
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'll tell you what. Make it a -1, as Cassius is currently intercepting the psychic radio signals.
That's an 8.
Nice!
Pick a glitch. We have effect is weakened, effect is of a short duration. You take a -1 harm, ignore armor, or a 1 harm, ignore armor. Magic draws immediate unwelcome attention as a problematic side effect.
I'm gonna do the effect is weakened.
Okay. You get close to June. You don't get all the way there. You couldn't touch each other right now, but if June were to say, get up and run towards you, they could do so in a short enough time.
Okay.
But you aren't near them yet. You are not totally out of, like, the visitor's range yet if the visitor decided to try to attack you.
Because Beck has a heavy sword, heavy armor, and is trying to, like, carry fucking Flint.
Yeah, for sure. It's rough.
Yeah.
You can feel this unearthly weight against you. It's as if, like, the world is trying to eat your feet as you run. It's trying to swallow you. It's trying to distract you. It's trying to slow you. The world wants you to die here, and it's hard to fight against. Alrighty. And Cassius, what do you do?
I mean, I don't know. Is there anything I could do to just maintain what I've been doing? Or is that sort of like...
I think that'll just extend for as long as you would like, because if you're willing to accept the pain from other people, that's fine by me.
Yeah, it's cool with me. Would I spend my turn doing that, or is that just like ongoing?
No, you can do something else okay. if you'd like.
I would like to, in my slightly psychically aware state, use a metaphysical oops.
Oh my god.
Jesus Christ.
I knew it was going to be.
Okay, can you read me oops real quick?
If you want to stumble across something important, tell the keeper. You will find something important and useful, although not necessarily related to your immediate problems. So I'm thinking in opening myself up psychically, I might catch some kind of...
That is an extremely clever use of that move.
I don't know, Whoa. It might not work as I want. Or maybe I just find a spoon in the mud or something below me and I'm like, nice, I can use this.
I love it. I think you see a weird scene in your head. You see that series of shacks from before that you came through to get here. That the beacon had been sort of staying at. And the 13 coins thing keeps picking up back in your head. And I think by sitting in the back of your brain, your head connects to it pretty quickly once you open yourself to this psychic environment. You can see this, as if you've been seeing through James's eyes again, this this situation where the beacon members sometimes extend claws and seem to have this sort of feral behavior to them, and sometimes rush at other members or parts of the building, or scrape through parts of like the wood or other animals or gators in the area. And when they do so, members who are not in that state just walk behind their doors, which have those 13 coins, and they are safe. That for some reason that wards those that situation off. I think you can see that, like, James imparted, like, okay, you're gonna have these powers. When you do, there's this threat. Do this, and it won't be a problem anymore.
Do I think that this might work against James, or later on for the beacon?
Yeah, yeah.
Cool. I think other than that, Cassius is just gonna stay locked with Gert, and...
I think you didn't realize it before, but the two of you were, like, hugging, yeah. Like she is a baby you're holding.
Yeah.
And she's got, like, her little arms around your neck.
I like that.
One of these days, I want Cassius's oops to allow him to find a real toothpick that was used by Elvis Presley.
It comes full circle.
Yeah.
Alrighty. June, it is your turn.
I am going to... run forward. I don't know exactly what Flint and June have, or what Flint and Beck have planned, but seeing Beck like Hulk jump while carrying Flint, and seeing Flint like hooking up wires and stuff, I'm assuming that they were running towards me for a reason.
Mm-hmm. You do so. You can get to them, and you guys can have a conversation if you can make it quick. In the meantime, the rest of the team is like fending off the visitor as they've started to walk towards you. It looks like with that watch destroyed, they aren't teleporting right now. They're just sort of slowly ambulating towards you as their little tendrils stick into the water and kind of help pull them forward. Their body is like kind of sloughing off of itself, and that, like I said, that weird distortion-y, like as if they're like different seconds in time and refixing themselves and slipping through different seconds of time and refixing themselves and moving towards you.
Oh. What's the play, boss?
All right, here's the short version. I was looking through Beck's boss's book, Big Book of Spells, and we could stop James once and for all if we could seal him, them, it, here. If we could seal it here, we could stop James once and for all. It's going to take a great amount of power. You guys are going to have to, on the fly, put together a big spell that both of you do. I've got a battery for you guys to use, and I hold up what was once my magic glove is now just this, like, glowing orb of electricity. This should give you all the juice you guys need. I can't really do much else for you guys.
I am going to, look towards Beck and take the glove and kind of like hold it out between the two of us and go, can we do this?
Looking at the glowing, crackling orb under her breath, Beck says, Rasengan, and also grabs it.
You say that, and in the distance, as you make this joke, I think we see that Dr. Garcia, two members of the Bulwark, and Bishop are being strangled by the visitor right now, and are looking like they're like deep blue in the face, as the other team members are running towards them to save them, kind of in slow motion right now.
Yeah. Let's do it.
As we begin to like work on this magic, June is going to like bump foreheads with Beck, not in like a like aggressive way, but like as they like connect, June will say under their breath, for what it's worth, I'm sorry.
I think that Beck kind of brings their head back a little bit and then does aggressively headbutt you. Reconnects their foreheads, and she's like sniffling, and she's like, you're already forgiven. We're gonna do this, but we're gonna do this my way. It's not sacrifice and it's not secrecy. It's structure and it's discipline. We're doing this together, and we're getting rid of him. and you don't get to go back. And he doesn't get to come for you. You're not his.
June is like crying and repeats after Beck, structure and discipline. It's hero time.
Oh.
June, go ahead and roll use magic, and Beck, go ahead and roll help out. You may either use cool or weird.
Okay. I would like to use weird.
Alrighty.
Woo!
It's time.
Okay.
It's hero time.
It's hero time, baby!
You have just a minus one right now as Cassius psychically holds the visitor back.
Okay. So I do help out, and June does magic? Okay.
Let's do it.
It's not bad. I got 12.
With Cassius's assistance, I am at a 6. So with Bex, I'm then at a 7.
A 7? Okay.
Oh boy. You got James juice in your fucking blood now, so I don't know what that does.
Choose a glitch. Effect is weakened. It's of a short duration. You take one harm. It's going to be worse than one harm because this is big magic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The magic draws immediate unwelcome attention, or it has a problematic side effect.
So here's the deal. I don't want to do anything that would weaken this spell. And we are in fucking hell dimension, so I don't want to draw unwelcome attention, which leaves me one choice, which is harm baby.
Or
so,
automatic side effect. Which is dealer's choice.
I think that could trap me here, which
I won't do that. I wouldn't steal your character from you.
Can I? Would the damage from that be psychic? Like, would I be able to help reduce it by taking it on myself? Or would it be another source?
Yeah, it's from June doing the magic. Like,
gotcha,
it's from...
Gotcha. I didn't know if it was a...
I'm gonna take the harm. If this is how we go, this is how we go.
I still have a hold, though, from what could go wrong that allows me to reduce the harm someone takes by one.
Beautiful. June, you were going to take 3 harm from this. It's reduced to 2 by Cassius doing what now?
I think maybe, I don't know. Would it be enough to just say that Cassius, as he's like crying blood, turns and winks at June and like and like re-inspires them with just the
inspiring visual.
Then, because it's not like power of the heart, right? This is like the I'm trying to think about it.
Like a dentist office hanging there poster. It's a man crying blood, winking.
I think maybe June is like in this wake is reminded of Cassius dropping his gun to spear tackle the dude for like the high risk, high reward, and it inspires June to go for the high risk, high reward and shrug off some of the damage just by the sheer recklessness of Cassius.
Sure.
I don't know. that was a stretch.
I'll take it.
Alrighty. June, what are you at?
That would have had me at 7, so reducing it by 1 will put me at 6.
So you are barely alive. That would have killed you. Holy shit. Oh, yes!
I thought you die at 8. Do you die at 7?
When all the boxes are full, you die.
Oh my god!
Oh my god!
I just said, we're not doing sacrifice in secrecy.
Oh, very, very good. Okay.
I've done that then. Whoops.
I will reveal to you the very specific side effects now, the danger involved here. When you seal James, or when you seal the visitor, you are taking like a part of it and splitting it into multiple pieces so that like any single individual can't do the things it can do. To weaken James enough that you can seal James right now, you need to take a substantial amount of his essence and seal it within yourself. You will be more than ever part monster at the end of this. You will be something else other than human, and James, or the visitor, will be in its own little way along for the ride.
Oh.
But James, or the visitor, will not be wreaking havoc on Constance for a very long time.
Yeah, I'll accept that. I thought I was dead there for a second, so yeah. Being a monster, part monster is better than that.
Your body, you hear your bones crack as you get taller. You feel your muscles stretch, and in some places the skin rips, and you do take that two harm as your body is forced to adjust to this new existence. Tell me what it looks like as a team. Flint, what's the first thing that happens?
I'm going to say, as they both reach out to the little lightning orb thingy, it shines brightly, flashes, and then splits off, sucked into each of their arms, and they're both glowing, hair on end, eyes pulsing with magical energy from this device they just absorbed.
Oh. So anime.
Beautiful. Beck, what happens next?
I think that they keep saying structure and discipline over and over again, and it slowly kind of turns into go away, and then it turns into I'm not yours, and the like electricity starts to sort of crackle and funnel out of them, and it starts to seep like into the entire realm, and the whole realm is just like ablaze with currents of this like white blue lightning.
Hell yeah. Cassius, what happens next?
I think maybe Cassius is still trying to distract it psychically, so maybe it's getting a little desperate and trying to eat memories, but Cassius keeps throwing up all the fake memories from his alternate identities that he's created over the years.
Oh my god.
So it's like, it's just sort of like confusing it, and it's like it's trying to eat memories that aren't real. And
what does it visually look like?
Like from an outside perspective, or like in
however you like, either in its mind or it's what is it body doing?
I think, yeah, we think just see Cassius like hugging Gert and sort of like maybe, like, in a way, saying goodbye to a lot of these personalities and memories. And, like, we just see sort of, like, a siphon of almost, like, shifty air going from him towards the visitor. As, like, the visitor's drawn to the next most self-destructive person.
I love it.
My offer is a visual that we see, like, fanning out from the solid Cassius, a bunch of these, like, translucent other Cassiuses all in different hats. Like, disappearing as the memories are
just... Jake Gyllenhaal psychically, like, punches him.
Oh my god, I love it. Okay.
The Green Lantern of con men.
Extremely good. And June, what does it look like when the visitor is sealed?
I think like as the spell is going on, and like June's like body is like contorting and like bones are breaking, June starts like collapsing, and Flint runs and is essentially like holding June upright, and Beck has like reached out and is like trying to keep June's eyes like locked with hers as they are repeating over and over again, structure and discipline, go away, I am not yours. And like they're just locked in this mantra. And as the like final change is coming on June and June's words start really faltering, Cassius is encouragement of prove us right like rings out, and the last thing that June says with Beck is I'm not yours, prove us right, I am not yours. And the creature that is the visitor is like each final phrase, like, more of it is being, like, split off and shriveling up and being split off and shriveling up until finally there's one left, and it rushes towards June and then disappears.
It is scattered into this sort of ethereal world. This orange aurora in the sky begins to distort. We see the pieces of its like little pocket watch start to reconnect together as we see this like shifty air tendril start to swing out and slap the water around it before it cracks again. We see each of the people who are being strangled by the visitor drop to the ground and as color starts to return to their face. We see Loon and Magpie ripping off these like dark eels out of the water, like pulling them off of their skin as blood is leaking everywhere from them. We see that the visitor broken into these many pieces, one of which has just passed through June. We see that James Pale, the visitor, Slender Man, is no more, as it is structured into a bunch of different pieces and is no longer holding power over anything at all. And it's gone. And it's just you. And still water. There's muck everywhere. There is light again, and you can start to remember things. Your head doesn't hurt as much as it did before, but you feel different. But the threat is gone, and it doesn't feel like monsters are charging towards you anymore, like you were in extreme danger. You're just standing there, catching your breath. What do you all do?